Hello. Today we are talking the Kung Fu classic, Kung Pao Enter the Fist. Wee 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 wee.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Yes, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans. In my defense of that slightly bizarre intro, Jesse and I didn't really plan anything, and as we were being counted down to going live, I was like, oh, Jesse, you talk for me, and I'll pretend that I'm badly dubbed.
But my mic is always off for that part. So I like checked and I was like, nope.
So like as we hear and you're live, it was like, oh, I will do a very bad impression of a Godzilla movie and be moderately potentially offensive.
Well, I think,
you know, I think it went okay.
Like I think you nailed the aesthetic though. Like the whole movie is
this.
That.
Yes.
So
I just retweeted our tweet.
Oh yeah, I was going to do that. That's why my phone's out. Don't think I'm being.
Hey,
I'm not
by
texting
the way,
everybody, right now.
I'm Ben Begley, your host today at the Ben Begley. We are at Guilty Movie Guys. I don't say this enough. We have a Twitter account, at Guilty Movie Guys. We just kind of throw it out at the end when you're all asleep from listening to us for too long. But we talk a lot about we nerd out about movies on there. We do polls on what's your favorite Guilty Movie Pleasure. We're trying to do more stuff, stay more active on there. We'd love for you to interact with us on there and get more than our 230 bots that we paid for on there.
But it's well worth the money, I think.
It's well worth that 230. They're very active bots on there.
I did want to say, today, the show that we're going to do on Kung Pao is going to be entirely done on Twitter. We're going to use our time today to promote the Twitter.
Yep. That's all we're doing.
Strap in.
So, and this is Jesse McIntosh, as always, my co-host. Where can they find you, Jesse?
You can find me at Too Much Jesse on Twitter and Instagram.
Nice. I'm trying to find... Okay, perfect. I did want to find... Jeffrey Peters is the one who actually... I want to give a shout-out this week to Jeffrey Peters.
If that's his real name.
If that's even your real name. He's the one who wanted this, who asked for it a few times. And I think we've had a couple other people. And then Ryan, forgive me if I'm saying your last name wrong... Ryan Gettig, I believe, is how you say it. He watched, not only did he watch Guilty Movie Pleasures, he watched The Hungover Games and The Funhouse Massacre.
Holy shit.
And I told him, even I can't handle that much me, and I'm
That's
me.
That's too much Ben Begley. In between, he watched your T-Mobile commercials.
Exactly. So, Ryan, thank you for the support. I appreciate that. The rest of you, I don't expect a Ben Begley marathon, but if you want to watch any one of those...
If you guys want to watch the episode of Community I was in, definitely throw that in there also.
Yeah, which episode?
I don't know. It was like 502 or something like that.
There you go. Check out 502.
That might be it.
Yeah, and Prom Losers, they can find you. Anyways.
Find that on the Twitter and Instagram.
On the Twittergram, yes.
The Twittergram.
So I just wanted to give the shout-outs, because usually we just say, thanks, random listener, for... there we go. So,
nice.
Jeffrey and Ryan, thank you both.
Appreciate you guys.
We're talking Kung Pao! Enter the Fist today! Holy shit, man. I was so stoked when this got suggested, because I have... I gotta turn my phone off. Look at me. I'm so unprofessional today.
Get it together.
It just... You know, it started off because... We're just earlier than I'm used to. I'm not prepared for this.
By early, he means on time.
On time.
We're on time today.
We're on time today.
It's very strange.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
But
everything looks different.
This movie... I was so excited when Jeffrey... When this was a request, because I watched this in college. I don't think I saw it in theaters. I don't remember seeing it in theaters. But I remember seeing it on like a trailer or something on YouTube and buying the DVD blind and then watching it like 10 times.
Yeah.
Because this movie is, and we were talking about this, it's like the precursor to bad lip readings on YouTube, which is viral now. It's like Steve Odekirk kills it in this movie. It's fucking hilarious. And it's unlike anything I'd ever seen before, maybe since.
Or kind of ever seen again, right?
Ever seen again.
No one's done a film like this.
It boggles the mind. Steven, the producer here, Steven Lemieux was saying how he's just amazed this movie got made. And that's it. It's like, you watch this and you're like, how did this get greenlit?
So I looked it up on IMDb because I was curious about just everything about it.
Yeah.
And they said the budget was $10 million. And I have to imagine $9.5 million of that was acquiring the visual rights to the movies that they used.
To Tiger and Crane Fist is what the original film was called?
Yeah.
So in case you don't know, those of you who are uninitiated to Kung Pao Enter the Fist, the premise of this movie is they took an old 1970s kung fu film called Tiger and Crane Fists and... They redubbed over the entire movie.
Which, full disclosure, I haven't seen.
I haven't seen it either.
Sorry.
This is the reboot. This is the remake. They fully redubbed over it, and then they filled Steve Odenkirk. He puts himself into it, and then also redubs all the voices himself.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a Family Guy episode or a South Park episode. And but then they film...
Much more offensive, because he's just a white dude dubbing over an entire cast of Asian people.
And Master Tang sounds a little Mexican, potentially, at points, where he sounds more like the Yo Quiero Taco Bell, which is Carlos Alazraki, a buddy of mine. He sounds a little bit more like he's doing product placement for Taco Bell.
I mean, he had to come up with like 20 different voices.
Yeah.
So,
in his defense, he doesn't really do bad offensive Asian accents. He just kind of does goofy voices.
He does goofy
for the most part. That's where he, and I think that was smart. But so then they shoot some new scenes for it as well, with the woman with the uniboob and a few others that, on top of that, they dub over poorly as well, which I think is hilarious.
And the dog, they dub over the dog is my favorite.
When
dog.
He goes, like 10 seconds ago. So Jesse, you were a little wounded last week.
I was.
Machete wasn't your favorite, even though it's one of my favorite. That's fine. We can disagree. How did you? I was nervous having you watch this week.
Yeah.
We already know I loved it. I've seen this like 10 times. I have since. There's so many times my wife hasn't seen this. There's so many times where like she'll get upset, and I'll just be like, wee, 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 and she'll have no idea what I'm talking about. Or I'll be like, I go pee pee standing up too, you know? And she's like, I don't get the reference. Or when we drive by a Taco Bell and I go, Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement for Taco. She's just like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You should explain it to her, because it's kind of funny like to be in a relationship with someone and you make references and they're like, I don't get it. And you're like, fuck you.
Yep. Sorry. Sorry, it's this movie.
Well, you should figure out what I'm referencing
and then watch the source material. She did walk in and see a few clips from it and go, oh, now I get it. So, well, I love this movie. What do you think of it?
This was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. It was so funny.
Yes!
I couldn't stop laughing.
Yes!
I almost, if I had time, I would have watched it again before... We recorded this because
well,
I just wanted to
watch
like,
it again.
Well, I probably will at some point watch it again, but I just wanted to make sure that I had everything in my arsenal when I came in today. But
it's
like
a joke parade. There's too much.
It was so, and like, again, I always talk about like attention to detail and like making sure that everything is consistent throughout. And their like everything was so goofy, but their attention to goofy detail was so on point that it just like made the whole thing flow.
Wimplow and his squeaky shoes.
God, it was so good. And like every time they were introducing a new scene, they would dub over like the group saying something. And like consistently they nailed it. Yeah. And it was so unrelated to anything else that was going on.
But they just
like they crushed it every single time. Yeah. Like with the ventriloquists. They're like why are there two ventriloquists? It doesn't matter. It's just two people, like an extra long shot of two guys walking, and they were like, we need voiceover over this, but their lips aren't moving. So
it's so good, the justification of it all.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what you're getting into from the beginning. We'll get into the sound clips very soon, because this is a sound clip parade. I had 22, and I pared it down to 15. But let's attempt to do the plot in under 3 minutes. Which, I mean, saying this movie has a plot is a very, very loose statement. But that's why I love it. So are we ready in the booth for the plot in under 3 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. So the first scene is this evil warlord, Master Pain, shows up, and there's a family there, and they hide the baby, or they're trying to hide the baby because it's the chosen one, and he kills the family, and he's about to kill the baby, and the baby has this amazing fight sequence where it's like flying around and kicking him, and then gets thrown down the hill and does the longest fall ever, gets picked up. Oh, so cute! And then she throws him down the hill more. And then we cut to him as an adult walking through the field.
He's just being attacked everywhere he goes. Just people are trying to fight him everywhere he goes.
Attack.
So he finds this school where there's a
Master
group of
Tang.
People. Yeah, Master Tang is teaching people how to fight. And initially, Master Tang's like, no, we can't teach you. And then he's like, oh, okay. He becomes convinced.
And Ling, he meets Curly Cute Ling.
Yep. So she's there. And then
Wimplow
is, they've taught him how to fight poorly just because they thought it would be funny. Which
as
is
a
great.
Joke.
Yeah.
And we're almost through the movie already.
Practically.
We realize that he's the chosen one because he has a tongue that has a face
that has a
on
face.
It that goes, hi-ya-ya-ya!
Yeah.
Really weird.
Sure.
So there's some rivalry between Wimplow and him, and Wimplow challenges him to a fight and gets defeated very easily in
and
every
then,
challenge.
And then Master Tang comes in, and he just, like, is in the town, and he hears that... Master Pain. And he hears that the Chosen One is alive, so he comes into town.
He does a show in front of everyone where everybody hits him, like, 100
This is my
times.
Superpower, yeah. And then, fuck.
And then he says, Master Pain then decides he's going to go by Betty for the rest of the movie.
Right.
The Uniboob Warrior comes in and says, you're not ready yet. You have to get special training. And they tongue fight, and then she leaves, and they don't really come back to that. That's all set up for the sequel.
But she says, don't go through the field. Don't go through the meadow.
Yeah.
And he ends up going through the meadow, and he finds a cow, and the cow is defending Betty.
Betty.
And they have
and
a big fight.
And he milks the cow dry, literally. And Master Pain and Master Tang fight, and Master Tang gets mortally wounded, we think, but then he survives.
And then at some point we see Mufasa.
Yeah. Oh, Ling's father gets killed by Master Tang,
right.
Master Pain. And oh my God, we get the ventriloquists that get murdered. And then there's an intermission after we think that Wimplow and Master Tang and the dog are dead, but it turns out just Wimplow is dead. And then Betty's swinging his claw around and he fights him. And at the and what the Chosen One realizes is
like things on his chest are what's giving him the power.
Yeah,
so he like
the triangles.
Yeah, he does training to get the triangles off the chest. And he sets his hands on fire and he's like, oh, now I can do it. And then he has an epic fight with Betty. He has an epic fight with Betty, and then the aliens come in. He realizes that
they're the evil council.
The evil council is aliens, and so his tongue like shoots out and kills the aliens, and the
Real
aliens
fast.
Go away. And then we realize the sequel is like they're like, oh, everything is going to be okay from now on. And then the sequel, there's mass destruction.
Look at that!
Boom!
With 2 seconds to spare.
Boom! The yet to be made sequel.
This came out in 2001. I don't think we should hold our breath for a sequel to Kung Pao Into the Fist.
The Uniboob woman was like, "You'll see a lot more of me in the sequel." So there are a lot of references to a potential sequel that has not come out yet.
Well, here's the thing: if the footage they showed us for the sequel is any indication, then it's my least favorite parts of the movie, because I love this movie so much, but the two sections I hate. I hate the cow fight, and I hate the aliens in the end that show up randomly and then the tongue flinging it away. Because, and here's why, I feel like it ruins the aesthetic of being this martial arts parody by bringing in a CGI cow and by bringing in CGI aliens. I would have rather it just been a parody of martial arts. And those two moments, don't get me wrong, that's like 10 minutes of an 80-minute movie.
Yeah.
And I love the rest, but those two moments, I fast-forwarded through the cow fight this time around. That's how much I started watching it. I was like, nope, I hate
it.
I still hate it. But those are the only two moments. Every other moment of this movie, I fucking love. This movie.
It was a very strange, a small inconsistency in, like you said, the aesthetic. But I really like they use the cow fight to parody other fights, right? Which they didn't do with the
Matrix and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So they did a couple of those things, and I think also
it just goes on forever too.
It does do that.
Maybe $10 million was entirely spent
on the cow
fight.
Perhaps. But just like the idea of the randomness of the film, I think necessitated that. Like that sequence right there. Not necessarily the aliens. I'm sort of on board with you with the aliens. Like, we don't need it. But I sort of appreciated the cow fight for its consistency and randomness, if that makes sense.
I also don't think you need the tonguey thing at all.
You don't need it at all.
But the tonguey thing is sort of a reference to... He also did this whole parody series called Thumb Wars and, like, The Thumb Father, where it was, like, thumb parodies of famous movies. Like, thumb parodies of Star Wars. And it was... faces talking on thumbs, so the tongue was kind of in reference to that kind of his shtick. But it's okay. It just freaks me out more than anything when he sticks his tongue out. It's like, I'm just like, ugh, that's just fucking weird to me.
It's weird. Like, it's also sort of a device to like the sort of randomness of you are the chosen one and how they can identify that in someone at such an early age. Yeah. Like a physical demarcation would be the only way to do it. And such like a strange possible
thing. They immediately call it out where they're like, holy crap, that's terrifying. Yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
So let's get into some sound clips, because that's pretty much what today is going to be, us laughing at sound clips. We talked about how at the beginning, the baby fight sequence, That's a CGI sequence that I think is hilarious, where the baby's kicking the shit out of Master Payne, and then he light the place on fire, and the baby shoots out John McClane style, and then rolls down a hill. This is a long sound clip, so get ready, because this entire sound clip is the baby rolling down the hill. Let's play. Can we play clip number one? A woman picks the baby up very soon. Woman picks the baby up. She's looking.
So cute.
Kisses the baby. You think she's going to take it in? So you think that it's going to be like this sort of like Kung Fu Moses story where she takes this baby in and raises it, and then she goes, so cute, bye-bye, and rolls it
and
down.
And just rolls it right back down the hill. It's so good.
Oh, shit.
It's so
I know
good.
That... Wow, you could drive a truck through those pauses when you're not seeing the
I'm
visuals.
Telling you, man. I did wonder a couple of
it's
things with the beginning. Master Payne shows up at that house.
Yeah.
Why? Do we know?
Because the Chosen One's there.
Well, I mean, but he doesn't know that. He just shows up.
That's what he's there for, I assume.
I mean, he's just going door to door.
Just
Chosen One?
Chosen One.
Anyone?
I murder everybody.
Yeah, I heard the Chosen One was born.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think,
is
yeah.
He here?
Yeah. It's like the Pharaoh. And I keep going back to Moses because Moses and this
and,
very similar stories.
And then later in the movie, Master Payne's like, oh, I defeated him once. And it's like, actually, you kind of got your ass kicked by a baby.
Yeah.
So like, your overconfidence here is stunning.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
He got his ass handed to him by a baby.
The baby, like, presumably is not old enough to walk, and that baby
just whooped
your ass.
That baby was old enough to do all kinds of, like, kung fu kicks, flips, double barrel rolls, roll down a hill, and not be...
like an indestructible baby.
Indestructible.
The other thing, he's indestructible.
Yeah.
Because he rolled down that hill for
until later
45
on when he
seconds.
When he gets hit by all those clubs, and he's knocked unconscious. There's some inconsistencies in this movie, and the cow fight isn't the only thing. Would we just start picking apart the logic? Like, I don't know if this makes sense. So, oh my God. So then he fights some guys. He makes gopher nunchucks and fights a bunch of guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This isn't the only time he abuses animals. There's a time later on where you see him feed a squirrel, and it turns out that he did that to protect himself from Master Payne's punch.
Yep.
And then he lets the squirrel out, and there's a fist imprint, and it's been flattened, and he gives it a bunch of nuts.
He just
and
fills
then,
it with nuts.
And then the flattened squirrel, like a weird coaster for nuts, just walks off.
Nut coaster. Hashtag nut coaster.
Hashtag nut coaster. Hashtag inappropriate. Nut coaster. The new ride at Six Flags. It'll bust your nuts. Oh, man, that got weird. I didn't mean that.
Oh, boy.
Then there's this amazing... There's some really funny jokes in there. This was a visual... There's a lot of visual gags. That's why I didn't pull some of the clips. But there's the one part where he asks... Somebody asks another character, like, if they've seen The Chosen One or something to that effect. And there's this really long, silent pause as he talks. It's like... I don't know. It's just so funny to let that big, long pause go. And he does that a few times.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. It never gets old for me. But let's go into... God, I don't even know how to begin
with
this
movie. So, and the fights... So after he rolls down the hill, then we find him as a grown adult who's like taught himself how to fight, even though he knew how to fight.
Thank you for making sense out of all the ramblings I just
did. No,
I just realized everything I said made no sense.
Everything's okay.
Yes.
That's check out our Twitter at Guilty Movie Guys.
Yeah, we're making sense on there, guys, right now.
So he gets in a couple of fights, and he explains that he's under constant attack.
Yeah.
He's just living his life, but is under constant attack.
So he goes to this random town.
Right.
Where Master Tang is there.
But, and so then there are a bunch of people who are fighting him, and he punches... directly through the guy.
How did I forget that?
So he gets a clean circle that punches right through the guy.
And I was going to pull that sound clip, but it's very long, where he's like, holy crap. I mean, because the whole thing is narrated by Master Tang.
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, he punched right through him. Like, is that even possible?
It was such a clean circle.
With organs and yeah. blood. And he punches literally a plug, a stomach plug.
Yep.
Oh, it's incredible. So then he goes and meets Master Tang, and he says, please, Master Tang, I'm under constant attack. And he's like, we can't help you, but I beg of you.
I think we have that.
I think we have that sound clip. So let's play clip number two.
Your story makes my heart heavy and my prostate weak. My bladder is full to bursting. I feel for you and your grave loss. However, it will be impossible for us to help you. Master, I implore you to reconsider. Okay.
Oh, shit.
So not only is he physically indestructible, but his logic is indestructible
okay.
as well.
Oh, my
I implore
God.
You.
Can we just play that one more time? Because the list he goes through is pretty fantastic. I mean, that takes some imagination to
and
come
this,
up with this.
This is a for real story if it does this to a human
it's
being.
It's also, I think, my uncle's doctor list when he goes and complains. Can we play this?
Your story makes my heart heavy and my prostate weak. My bladder is full to bursting. I feel for you and your grave loss. However, it will be impossible for us to help you. Master, I implore you to reconsider. Okay.
It's just so good. Oh, shit. God, I love this movie so much.
Oh, but it's so great the way they take advantage of, like, the weird mannerisms of the existing film.
Yeah.
Right? And they
when
just,
every
like,
time he gestures and there's, like, a
yeah.
sound effect, he keeps going...
Or when he, like, coughs a couple times and they CGI'd a fly flying yeah. into his mouth. And yeah. he's like...
he's walking along and they CGI a fly. And as he goes... and then it flies out. Oh, it's so brilliant. Ugh. It's so good. Speaking of, I feel like you got to CGI a fly in my nose just there. My allergies are being weird
do it. Someone, do it. Someone on the internet, do it.
Someone. That's what you're there for, internet. Can we play... This is Wimp Low. Wimp Low, they set him up as... the one who's going to challenge, who's vying for Ling's affection, who's jealous of the chosen one, and who has squeaky shoes whenever he walks. And in fact, when he first shows up, he's like, I'm a man! Wee, 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 wee! And his shoes are squeaking, and Master Tang goes, ugh, not the squeaky shoes again. But there's too many sound clips, so I got this one, which is my favorite. Can we play clip number three? This is where Master Tang tells them about how they're training Wimp Low.
Purposely trained him wrong as a joke. If you've got an ass, I'll kick it.
Oh shit. Oh my god. If you've got an ass, I'll kick it. Oh, I remember the first time I ever heard that joke, we've purposely trained him wrong.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that explains all of my karate background and like I've taken I've taken karate classes over the years and kung fu and things like that. And I thought it was always that I don't do enough yoga and I'm not flexible. But here, it turns out, I went and talked to one of my old masters, and he said...
I must apologize for Wimp Low.
That's what they call me, yeah.
We have purposely trained him wrong as a joke.
I was like, oh.
If you've got an ass, I'll kick it.
I tried to act tough, but I didn't really.
But that falsetto is tough to sound
if
tough.
You get an ass. I can't even.
Oh boy.
I may have.
Take a breath.
Just yeah. CGI. Oh shit. Oh my god. That's such a specific clip.
Yeah, it sure is. Sure is. Where they use his name and they say specifically what he's doing.
We purposely. you got anything on that one?
No.
It's okay. Let's
no,
move
it's all
on.
Right. Let's move on from that one.
The tongue freaks out Master Tang. I love that. Then Master Tang goes, this reminds me of a flashback. I love the flashback. He's like, I was told there will be a chosen one. And they flash back to a guy that goes, there will be a chosen one. And then everything that he says, that he's like, and... He said he would... I forget what else they say. And then he goes, and it reminds me of when he killed the dog. And then they flash back to him farting and a dog noise dying. And
yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck? But it makes fun of the fact that a few times in this movie, when they show what we've already seen in the movie in flashbacks to flashbacks, which happens all the time. I mean, Batman versus Superman, I'm not trying to start a DC war or anything. I like DC just as much as anybody. But that movie, and a lot of action movies, they'll show you like flashbacks to something you saw like 10 minutes ago, where you're like, or an hour ago, and you're like, I get that the character is thinking this right now, right, about their parents that were killed or about whatever, or... But you don't need to spoon feed it to me like Jell-O pudding snack.
You know what did that, but like it's not as egregious because it wasn't set up to be watched. It wasn't set up to be binged. But if you ever binge in a season of 24, they'll like 5 minutes because it's real time. But 5 minutes after something happened, they'll re-explain everything that just happened just because it's the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so it's.
Yeah, I love 24 is one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's great.
I did a spoof of 24 called 24 Minutes. Mr. McIntosh is in that as well.
I was in it.
You can check that out on my YouTube channel. I'll tweet it out.
After you check out Hungover Games, but before you watch Funhouse Massacre.
Yes. And then after that. No, in between that, watch Prom Losers.
Yep.
And then, because you'll need a break.
Yep.
Because there's only so much Begley.
While
you're
doing this, check out Guilty Movie Guys on Twitter.
Yeah. There's a reason why I predominantly book commercials, because 30 seconds is about all the people can stand of me. So, let's go into some more of... This is when... So the bad guys come and ravage the city. Ling, as the shot... When Master Tang is like... Ling is very shy, and then she flashes her boobs, and he's like, okay, I guess she's fine now. It's just like...
Well, she does it... This is sort of a running gag also, where she's like, she flashes, and then she covers back up, like, oh, no, what have I done?
What have I done? It's so good. Oh, my God. Let's play the clip number 4, which is where, Wimp Lo is upset with Ling's affection towards the Chosen One, and he's trying to assert that he's a man.
Shh. I see the way you look at him. I'm a man too, you know. I go pee-pee standing up.
There's no other way to prove it.
You know,
that's the...
Like I said, you know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've started... My wife has caught me a few times doing things that are less than manly. When we watched Pitch Perfect, the next day she caught me rewatching it, and I reacted as if she caught me watching porn. Even though it's just, I like the dance numbers. They're fun. And
they're so well choreographed.
And there's a few times now where she may or may not have caught me listening to Demi Lovato's new album, which usually isn't my bag of tricks, but I'm telling you, I unironically love Confidence and several other songs on that.
Hate or Stay Home.
And she was like, Ben, this is kind of weird behavior. And I thought she was questioning my masculinity, and I looked at her and I said,
shh. I see the way you look at him.
I was talking about Jake Gyllenhaal because
sure,
I just watched that.
Sure.
I go pee-pee standing up.
And she went, but sometimes when you're too tired at night, you go pee-pee standing down because you're worried you're going to fall or something.
Well, and because it's dark. You don't want to miss.
And the shower curtain's right by the toilet because it's like cramped space.
And that there's probably
there's
a crevice
splashage
there that's going to it's gonna catch it.
Yeah.
I was
pee-pee standing up.
We have a dog who from time to time will talk to us, which is kind of like we should take more advantage of that, that we have a talking dog. But we don't want to exploit her. Do you know what I mean?
You want her to want it. You don't want to shove her into the...
We just want her to live her life.
Yeah. I respect that.
But so we actually have two dogs. One of them's a guy dog and one of them's a girl dog. The guy dog also talks. So it's great. Like we got the two talking dogs. Yeah. But the guy dog.
Completely true story.
This is for real.
100% true.
This is for real. You can't verify it because you don't know where I live, but this is for real.
Yes.
But my wife came home and she gave me a kiss and the boy dog stood up and was like, where's my love? And the boy dog said,
shh. I see the way you look at him. I'm a man too, you know. I go pee-pee standing up.
It's like, yeah, right.
Well, you do everything standing up. You're on
everything,
all fours.
Yeah. Of course, like even girl dogs pee standing up.
Technically, yeah.
I mean, they squat, but they're standing.
I go pee-pee standing up.
That was a science lesson right there.
If they ever try and fire us from Guilty Movie Pleasures, I'm just going to be like, I'm a man. I go pee-pee standing up. And they'll be like, that's exactly why we're firing you.
Yeah.
That is exactly why.
Do you feel like that's going to...
Yeah, you know.
That's ammunition.
That's... Exactly. It's... actually... Okay. Here's the thing.
Work it out.
So, Sean Spicer during one of the press conferences the other day.
I did mean to say that we are going to get into politics because obviously this movie is very political.
Super political.
So bear with us, please.
Sean Spicer, he was getting upset with one of the reporters the other day. And he's just feeling like less of a man. And one of the female reporters was looking at one of the New York Times reporters that was really just egging him on. And the New York Times reporter was kind of attractive. So I think Sean Spicer was like a double whammy of things going on.
Sure.
And Sean Spicer, he just rolled that podium forward and he looked at this reporter and just said,
"Shh, I see the way you look at him. I'm a man too, you know. I go pee-pee standing up."
And that was actually the best thing he said in the entire press conference.
And ironically, it was actually Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, it was on SNL.
Oh,
that's right.
Son of a bitch.
They're so similar.
Son of a bitch.
They're so similar. Oh, God. I remember this part where when he's in one of the montages where he's eating and then he feeds the tongue. It creeped me out so much when the tongue eats, too. And it's like, I don't like tongue. Well, tongue-y's not my favorite.
I mean, they had to explain how that tongue survives.
You're right. The tongue needs sustenance, too.
Talk about consistency.
Yeah, you're right.
I do love when we first are introduced to the school of karate students and they're like basically chanting like, you can't assign gender to us. We are like, it doesn't matter what we do.
I wish I remembered exactly what it was.
Shit, this is why I wanted to watch it again. So I could remember specific things.
Now you're going to watch it again. Anyways, when Wimplo challenges him though, the consistency there is really funny where he thinks he's doing good by getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
When he's like, ha ha, face to foot style. And he goes, nuts to your fist. And
right.
He gets punched in the nuts. And everything he thinks he's doing he thinks he's doing well.
So, and that carries all the way through because you talked about the point in the movie where we think all these people are dead and Wimplo turns out to be the only one who's dead. And like, they give him a moment where he's like, I can make two choices here. Choice A, I like roll out of the way and defeat him. Choice B, I roll into his fist and I die. And he goes, I choose choice B. And then he dies.
It's so good.
But it's really great. I also love like the challenge between the two of them starts with a wall jumping contest. Like, why don't you guys just fight? But they started by saying like, okay, you jump over the wall and then I'll jump over the wall.
And the chosen one, of course, clears it and he does a flip and slams right into it.
Yep.
Master Payne comes to town and meets the mayor, which it's not this clip, but later, I can't remember if it's this clip or later on, but they account for the fact that they're taking different scenes from the original movie because his wardrobe's different.
Yeah.
And he goes, by the way, would you like to see a magic trick? Your shirt is red. Now black! And so they account for the fact that they're clearly using different scenes, and it's fucking hilarious.
It's so great.
But this clip is where Master Payne comes in and is trying to convince everybody he's a nice man. And again, it doesn't sound that different from our current administration. So let's play clip number 5, and you tell me, Trump or Master Payne?
Who said it?
I have been called bad before.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Many have said I do things that are not correct to do. I don't believe in such talk as this. I am a nice man with happy feelings all of the time. First, a joke. What do you get when you cross an owl with a bungee cord?
No one knows.
I have no idea.
No one knows.
My ass.
Now, the only difference there is Trump's jokes are worse.
Yeah.
He says things like, pray for Arnold's ratings.
Yeah, I don't know. And he also never prefaces it with a joke because that's a little bit of a hedge. Like, if you guys aren't laughing, then it wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
But that joke is brilliant. I would love to know.
A bungee cord. What was it? A bungee cord?
And an owl.
And an owl.
I would love to know specifically.
My ass.
How his ass is a cross between a bungee cord and an owl.
Okay. I can't even wrap my brain around physically what that means. We're going to table that and unpack that later.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, on Twitter, where everything else is making more sense on there.
Guilty Movie Guys, @GuiltyMovieGuys.
You'll refer to me from here on out as Betty. Betty.
That's and then someone calls him Sally, and he gets furious about it.
Yeah. So I love that now Master Pain is now Betty. And maybe it's because halfway through recording, they were like, Master Pain and Master Tang sound really similar. So they're like, all right, we'll change it to Betty. And then we talked about how when Master Pain comes into town in the synopsis of it, how he shows off his superpowers as they just pummel him with staffs.
Right.
And then later on, the Chosen One tries to be a badass and do the same thing, and they beat him senseless. And he says, wait, if I give the signal, stop. And then they're beating him as he's on the ground. And then they're like, wait, did he give the signal? I don't know.
He never told us what the signal was.
They keep beating him, and it's clearly a dummy.
Yeah.
But they're just wailing on it. Yeah. It's so funny because it's one of those things where it's like the Family Guy style of humor where it's funny, stops being funny, and then goes on so long it becomes hilarious.
They do that a few times throughout the movie. But then the other thing is he says, either I give you the signal to stop or I throw you off my body.
So they do a pile.
And so they're like, oh, I don't know. Did he give us a signal? I don't know. What was the signal? They continue to hit him. And then they're like, oh, remember he said that thing about throwing us off his body?
Yeah.
And so they all pile on to him.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay, throw us off.
Come on.
Come on.
One of my favorite voices they have is, I don't know if it's in that scene or what, but there's one guy who just kind of talks like this.
Yeah.
It's like he comes up every once in a while.
I'm pretty sure, because when they're running away, he's like, don't tell mom.
Don't tell mom. Yeah. They run up. Don't tell mom.
Don't tell mom.
So, Uniboob woman comes in. One of my least favorite parts of the movie, too. It's just random.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, really. And it's clearly to be like, there's a sequel. So
just the idea of the sequel, like, there doesn't need to be a sequel for these. Like, these are the elements that would make it into the sequel, right? Like, a weird uniboobed woman. Like, yeah, you're going to see more of me in the sequel, obviously. Like, she comes in and, like, drops a little piece of wisdom and is only there for that part.
Yeah.
Like, that's something where if there were to be a sequel, that character would be blown out a little more because everyone would have been like, what the fuck was that uniboob
woman?
And so the creators would be like, oh, great, uniboob woman. Let's put her in more. And then in the same way at the end when they're like, everything is fine and nothing will ever be bad again. So that's how you always end the first one, right? And then the sequel, it's like
everything's
1,000
worse.
Times worse, yep, than it used to be.
Yeah.
So all these things are like pointing towards like the sequel. These are the ideas where sequels get their engine.
Yeah. So I guess I appreciate it for the fact that they're spoofing sequels.
Right. Yeah.
And they're spoofing franchises. Yeah. I just think that there's a funnier way to do it than a uniboob.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
But maybe they're spoofing Total Recall, the opposite, where she's three boobs.
Well, just to be clear, there's nothing funny about one uniboob in the center of your body.
There's nothing funny.
It's like a unicorn.
If you find that, you've found the magic. The magic non-existent.
It's truly what we're all looking for.
It's truly what we're all looking for. One giant boob. we talked about the loving the delayed bark from the dog.
Yep.
And then, oh God, this is the Taco Bell clip where every time I drive by a Taco God, Bell, I so say good. This. Can we play clip number 6?
Taco Bell, Taco Bell, product placement with Taco Bell. Encherito, macho burrito,
Master Tang.
Encherito, macho, macho burrito. That's another thing where they're walking in a crowd scene and they set up that everybody's saying something.
Yeah.
And if you look, they CGI'd Taco Bell.
Yeah, they sure did.
So good.
They sure did. Chose two products that Taco Bell doesn't serve, like
Churritos, macho burritos.
I'm pretty sure everything Taco Bell serves rhymes, so like you didn't need to create new things.
I've never heard of macho burrito or enchiritos.
Or an enchirito. What
I
is
don't
an
know
enchirito?
What that is. No idea.
I would like
if
Taco
anybody
Bell,
knows
Taco Bell making
Taco
enchirito.
Bell. Can you tweet at us at what if this entire
it's at guilty movie guys?
Play a drinking game every time we mention it. Master Pain and Betty face off. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Betty and Master Tang face off.
Yep.
And then they always have the guy with the boombox, and he plays random 90s rap
Who's
songs.
Also great. Like, what a brilliant idea.
So stupid, but I love it. And
it comes in later when the guy's like, if he plays the big butt song, that's when he starts kicking your ass.
Can we play? This is when Ling is kidnapped by Betty, and he's being nefarious with her, and she won't have it. Can we play clip number 7?
Don't go. Please.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Oh, whatever.
Stay alive. Stay and live a life.
This is the chosen one, and Ling, my bad.
Look, Ling,
Those curly cues on your face make me so hot I can't think straight.
Sorry, let's play it again, because I prefaced it wrong. I forgot what clip we were doing. There's several Wii U's that I pulled. This Wii U is when the Chosen One is saying, I have to go fight. And she's saying, stay. And can we play it just one more time, because I love it that much?
Don't go. Please. Stay alive. Stay and live a life here with me. Look, Ling, those curly cues on your face make me so hot I can't think straight.
I mean, those curly cues are kind of hot, you know?
Did they make you so hot that you couldn't think straight?
I couldn't think straight for half this movie. Sure. I don't know if it was the curly cues, though.
We're not going to eliminate that from possibility.
No,
like, it very well could have been.
It added to the mix of things, for sure.
Sure.
Oh, God. I love that.
Stay alive.
Stay alive.
Stay and live a life with me.
Okay, we'll keep moving on, because we do the cow fight. Which we already talked about at length, pretty much. And then the way he defeats the cow is he milks the cow dry to the point where it's literally flattened.
Right. It's just a little confusing because the cow was using the milk as a weapon.
Which, yeah, it seemed like
it stayed full.
Yeah. See?
It was a bloated cow.
Inconsistent.
But it is a funny idea.
They spoofed the Matrix bullet time.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also gave him the milk mustache.
Yeah, that was fun. I like that, where he gets attacked by milk and has a milk mustache. He goes... And by the way, Steve Odenkirk, we haven't talked about this. His performance in this is hilarious.
It's great.
Because he goes from super deadpan to really zany, like Jim Carrey on crack over the top. And it all works.
Yep.
It's all so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why hasn't he done more?
And,
he's awesome.
And the whole movie playing against nothing. Like, the whole thing is green screened.
It's him just playing against legit nothing.
Just being by himself.
Yeah. It's awesome. So, then, oh God. So then he goes... and I didn't pull the sound clip, but it's so funny where Betty is swinging the chain at the waterfall, and he's just like, swinging my chain, I sit here swinging my chain all
day. So this
is,
again, like, every single introduction to a scene is so brilliant, the way they, like, roll into it. Because he, like, again, he's just doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, why did we start the scene with him just doing that? And so they give him something to justify it, and he's just singing, swinging my chain,
something like that, I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But so the Chosen One and Ling's father fight him. And they both get annihilated, fall down a waterfall, and escape. And then Ling's father is reunited. And on his deathbed, Master Tang is taking care of him with his wounds. And he's in this scene. So Ling is laying there bandaged and in pain. And Master Tang does these, like, pressure point things. But it looks suggestive. And when they cut to Master Tang's face, he's kind of like... Ugh. So this is the sound clip that they went with, is what was going on in the scene. Clip number 8, please.
No, it's good.
No, please, I have a wound there.
Oh, come on, don't spoil everything. This works for both of us.
That clip was actually pulled from 50 Shades Darker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember that.
Interestingly enough.
It was in the Red Band trailer.
Yeah.
It was the S&M scene.
Yeah, we've all seen it. Yeah.
We've all seen it. We don't need to relive it again.
Yeah.
But it was definitely Fifty Shades Darker.
It's definitely from that one.
What's the third 50 Shades of Grey? Isn't it a trilogy?
The Darkest.
Darkest Shades of Grey? Oh, God, is it?
I don't know.
Does anybody know? We're talking.
Hey, show of hands.
Show of hands.
Who knows?
Oh, wait, we're Googling it. Look and see. Yeah, please. but be ready, because I'm going to ask you for a sound clip
as well. I bet it's 50-est Shades of Grey. 50-est.
So then Ling's father dies, and Ling is super upset. And she's saying, take me now. And they have this amazing sequence where she takes her robe off and goes, I'm so ready! And then she's like, but I just don't know! And it happens like five times.
So this is another one where they go...
Oh, it's so funny.
They go to not funny, and then it passes not funny back to funny.
And the Chosen One's reaction when he's like, huh?
Mm.
Like, just kind of like, what? I don't understand. And what did we find out what it is?
Yeah,
it's
50 Shades Freed. What? It's 50 Shades Freed. 50? Like freedom? So, like, 50 Shades Freed.
Veto. Ugh. I veto that.
God! That's the dumbest thing I've ever... 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades Freed?
I know. Like, she's a prisoner or something? of his love?
Only person who's a prisoner are the people who read all three of those books. Hey-yo! Anyways, can we play clip number 9? Because this is when Ling is getting all hot and bothered, and the Chosen One is like, ooh, I'm gonna get some action.
Oh, man, I'm a little tiny horny honey.
You know, this is embarrassing, but the first time I ever got laid was in college. I was a late bloomer compared to some people.
And Ben went to college late, too. He took some time off. So.
And the first time a girl got naked, my girlfriend at the time got naked in front of me. I couldn't contain myself, and I just got like beet red, and I kind of curled up in like excitement, and I just looked at her and I went, "Oh man, I'm a little tiny horny honey." And she went, "All right, we're not doing this tonight."
That's it.
Oh, I should have told you that wasn't the first time I got laid. That was the first time I cock blocked myself.
It's the first time you knew the person that you got laid.
It was the first time I cock blocked myself. Very nice. And then I got laid later.
So, interesting story. I actually saw an advanced preview of the new 50 Shades Freed film.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, I didn't remember the name of the film earlier because I was so caught up by this one line in the trailer, which was,
"Oh, man, I'm a little tiny horny honey."
It's like, that's that's weird. That's not the same vibe as the other two
it's
films.
It's actually the subtitle to the title. It's 50 Shades Freed. "Oh, man, I'm a little tiny horny honey."
Yeah.
Because she's freed now.
Right. But she can't run away from her heart.
And her heart is a tiny horny honey.
Tiny horny honey.
So, okay. So then there's a Lion King spoof where the Chosen One sees Moose and they really go.
Oh, boy.
They really go on the nose with Mushu Fasa and Chosimba One. And he tells them of the evil council. This is when it starts to fall off the rails a little bit for me, but I still love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But the Mushu Fasa.
Mushu Fasa was tough.
Was tough.
That's a tough
we'll
one.
Skip over that one.
That's a tough
and then,
one.
Oh, this is where Master Pain tells of his evil plan. Can we play clip number 10?
Master Betty, might I inquire, what is the evil council's plan?
It is evil. It is so evil. It is a bad, bad plan that will hurt many people that are good. I think it's great because it's so bad.
You know, actually, this was an interview with Paul Ryan on CNN about the new healthcare act after they revamped it. And they were like, "Why are you so excited about the healthcare act? And don't you think it's kind of an evil plan? You know, it's going to get 24 million people off healthcare." And Paul Ryan, I don't know if he just had a momentary lapse of reason, but I think he finally said what he's been thinking all along. And he said,
"Master Betty."
He likes to go by Betty, too.
Sure he does.
"What is the evil council's plan?"
"It is evil. It is so evil. It is a bad, bad plan that will hurt many people that are good. I think it's great because it's so bad."
And it's ironic that they're even general in their bad plans.
Right, yeah.
They're just as general in their bad plans as they are. There are no good plans.
Stay on brand with general. It's funny because, like, what I thought you were going to say is what I'm going to... The story that I'm going to tell is what I thought... Because you said Paul Ryan. I thought you were going to say Paul Reiser, former star of Mad About You, had in development the Paul Reiser show, which went about 4 episodes. But prior to that going on air, there was a lot of secrecy, a lot of hubbub, and people were like, "Oh, this is not a great. I don't think this is a good idea." And they asked Paul Reiser about it, and he said,
"Master Betty, might I inquire, what is the evil council's plan?"
"It is evil. It is so evil.
It's going to suck all the time out of you.
It is a bad, bad plan.
You're not going to like the show.
It will hurt many people.
People will be disappointed.
That are good. I think it's great because it's so bad." Yeah.
That's how I feel about most reality television.
People loved Mad About You, and they had such high expectations for the Paul Reiser show.
It's like Joey, you know, the Joey show.
Yep.
Okay, so we talked about
Man
the
with a plan?
Ventriloquists, where there are these two guys that don't speak for the entire scene.
Yeah.
So they're like, "We are ventriloquists, watch us." And then they're hanging there, and they're still doing their ventriloquist
they're
act.
They're like, I swing a little bit more.
It's so good. But then, this is the clip I thought we had. This is another Wii U clip, where Ling and Betty face off. And he's being very nefarious. This is the one I set up like 5 clips ago wrong. Can we play clip number 11?
"I like them feisty.
You disgust me.
So
holy shit.
So when I was younger, I used to have I used to mow lawns just to make money.
I may have never laughed that hard on the show as I did just there. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Everyone listening to the podcast, you guys missed out on
the
show.
Sorry, you're mowing lawns. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was mowing lawns when I was a kid, and I was mowing one of my neighbor's lawns, and one of the, like, their daughter was out in the yard, and she was just playing, and I was like, I need you to move because I'm mowing the lawn, and she was like, no, I'm playing with my airplane. Wee. And I was like, I need you to move, and she was like, no. And then we had this exchange.
I like them feisty.
She was your age, though.
Yeah, so, for sure.
You disgust me.
And then I started the lawnmower.
And a weed whacker.
Yeah.
And then she kicked you. Yeah. She just...
Well, it was her parents' house, to be fair. I fucked that up.
I'm very excited. I would love to know where at what point the Wii U came in, because it's my favorite thing in this movie is the Wii U.
It's great.
Holy shit. So then Master Payne... Oh, Master Payne's the one that gets the claw to the face, actually, and survives. Mm-hmm. Wimp Low gets a claw to the back, and he's dead. But right before they jump Wimp Low... And they start their killing spree. Can we play? These are some of the guys that are making a plan to attack. Can we play clip number 12?
You go that way. I'll go home.
this is pretty much me in any dangerous scenario ever, where it's like we're walking down the street and there's like a scary homeless person or. There any kind of dangerous scenario I've ever been in my life, I pretty much look at the people I'm with, except now that I have a wife and child. Prior to that, any friends, anything, I would always be like,
you go that way, I'll go home.
That's pretty much me. I was the big chicken shit until I became a father, and now I am the chosen one.
So it's crazy, like, that when...
Cho Simba one.
When you were telling that story about the girl who got naked in front of you earlier, she texted me, and I was like, can you tell me how you got out of that situation? And she was like, I looked right at Ben, and I said,
you go that way, I'll go home.
I was like, oh, that's hard.
I was like, but I'm a little tiny, horny
poor
honey.
Guy,
what do I do?
Oh, he's such
I'm already home. I'm in my dorm room. You go that way. I'll go home. So then Wimp Low, you think that everybody's dead, and it turns out only Wimp Low is. There's an intermission.
Yeah.
With like 60 minutes into an 80-minute movie.
Yeah.
They come back.
There's an intermission where like the characters are selling you stuff.
They're so good.
Oh, I like Coca-Cola. I like a carbonated soda.
That's a lot of their product placement. Oh, shit. 2 minutes. Shit. Okay. He fights off the world's tiniest rope, and he's breathing through it like he's suffocating. And then he realizes the only way to get rid of it is to run backwards to make the rope go away.
Sure.
And then he decides that killing is wrong, and he's going to stand up against killing the chosen one. So can we play clip number 13?
Betty has gone too far. Killing is wrong and bad. There should be a new, stronger word for killing, like bad wrong or badong. Yes, killing is badong.
I wish that more people, I wish hashtag killing is badong could go viral right
now. What else?
Because nothing truer has ever been said.
I mean, other things, I feel like other things qualify as badong.
But killing is definitely
killing
in the top
for 10. Sure. For sure is badong.
Yeah. Several things.
Yeah.
You know, not recycling is badong.
That's right up there with killing.
Right up there with killing. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
This is actually true, and I know we're running short on time. But I was walking my dogs today, my real dogs that don't talk. My neighbor was backing out of their driveway, and her kid threw a Q-tip out of her window onto my driveway. And I like looked at it, and I looked up at her, and they backed out, and like the girl obviously didn't know that I was there, and like saw me and froze, and like they stopped after they had backed out of the driveway and like the car stopped and they didn't go anywhere. And then finally, like the girl got out and she ran out onto my driveway and she picked it up.
That's so
and
gross.
I was, yeah. Cause she knew, her mom knew
it was badong.
Yeah. Littering is badong.
It's badong. So the chosen one finds out that he has to remove the triangles that are protecting him. Betty.
Pyramids.
They're pyramids. And we find out that there's this evil council. Who cares? And so...
aliens, etc.
So Ling cuts his hands all up, pours lemons on him, salt, lights him on fire, and then he finally gets the power. And after all she's put him through, he says, clip number 14, please.
You have helped me reach the next level. And here I was starting to think you were just a sadistic psycho bitch.
we don't have any more time, or else I do a round on that because I fucking love that. Why? Yeah. He goes. This is the last sound clip I pulled, and this is kind of this movie's a little nutty, so it's appropriate. This is the final sound clip. He goes to buy nuts from the market, and can we play clip number 15?
I'll take a pound of nuts. That's a lot of nuts.
Ah, shit. Oh, my God. If you haven't, that's all the time we have. We're going to leave it on that. That's a lot of nuts. If you haven't seen Kung Pao, do yourself a favor. Buy it, rent it, just go out, find it somehow. It's fucking hilarious.
Hey, tweet us or leave comments your improv riffs on. That's a lot of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts.
There
yes.
you go. So we'll play this game with you guys.
There you go. Yeah, since we can't play it here, we got to get out of here. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you until next time?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse or for sketch at The Prom Losers. Also, let me know on the comment board what you thought of Pixels.
That joke, a callback joke to like 5 episodes ago. You got to be a longtime fan to understand that joke.
To understand me.
Yes. Until next time, I'm at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram at Guilty Movie Guys, if we haven't said that enough here. You can find The Funhouse Massacre on Showtime On Demand right now. And also, what else did I have to say? Oh, the Star Wars fan film that I did was really cool. I got to play an X-Wing pilot named Jet. I'd like to say his name's Jet Skywalker, but that's not canon, so don't go with that.
Oof.
But check it out. It's Star Wars Destroyer. I tweeted it out on my page, and let me know what you think. And just tweet at us in general about your favorite moment from Kung Pao. We'd love to know your favorite joke and some suggestions for next week. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure? Wee, 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 wee.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.